Now we continue our series. It's a short series. This will probably be the last of this series on the Good Shepherd, which is discussed in the 10th chapter of the book of John. And namely, we'll be in the 12th through the 18th verses of the book of John. Now, King David, who wrote that wonderful 23rd Psalm, spoke of the true shepherd who tended to him at all times, even as he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, and even when he was face to face with his enemies. Now, David spoke in the 23rd Psalm of a shepherd who would never leave him nor forsake him, for he spoke of the true shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who in this John 10 passage declares himself to be the one of whom David spoke. I am the true shepherd. And in so doing, Jesus compares the true shepherd to one who is only in the sheep business. Not for the benefit of the sheep, but for the benefit of one who is hired to tend to the sheep. So you have the true shepherd, and then you have what is called in the scriptures the hireling. Now, those of you who are mothers and fathers have children whom you love, and you don't expect your neighbor or the person down the block to love your children like you do. You're the shepherd. But we read of this hireling in John 10, 11 and 12. But he that is an hireling, Jesus is talking here. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because, why? Because he's a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Now Jesus is comparing the true shepherd with the hireling. The true shepherd cares for the sheep. The hireling cares not for the sheep. So we meet here the hired hand of the sheepfold. Now, there is nothing wrong in itself with a hand for hire, but the hireling is not the shepherd of the sheep. And we know that, for he does not have the heart of the shepherd. He does not have the concern. He does not have the commitment to the sheep as the true shepherd. There is so a great difference between the shepherd of the sheep and the one hired to watch over the sheep. Now, where is this difference revealed? Well, it may not be revealed during wonderful times. Perhaps the hireling is playing his harp in the sheepfold. Everything is peaceful and wonderful. The sheep are eating and so on and so on. It's a wonderful time. It's not revealed there, but it's revealed during hard times, during tough times. It's revealed when sacrifice is required. You know, there comes a time in your life when your heart will be revealed. Now, you may be going through difficult times. Something's being revealed about you during those difficult times that is not revealed during easy times. Now, the hireling may have thought of himself as a shepherd, but when the test comes, the test reveals to him that he is simply a hireling. Why? He doesn't care for the sheep as the true shepherd does. The test arrives when the wolf comes, when it gets personal, when total giving and dedication is called for, when perhaps it is a matter of life and death. The wolf comes. The hireling doesn't put his life on the line, but the hireling flees. The hireling is more concerned about his own safety than the safety of the sheep. He will not risk his life to defend the sheep against the wolves, whom he sees doing great damage to the flock. He cares more about himself than he does the flock. You see then how wolves are good at revealing the character of the hireling. You know, it's trials and troubles reveal what you are. Think about the trials and the troubles that you go through or have gone through, and think about yourself and how you reacted within those trials and troubles. What did it reveal about you? But here we're told that the wolf reveals the one that watches over the sheep as a hireling. So they are sent from God to ferret out the hireling. He simply works for wages, but his wages are not the strong tie to the sheep that the good shepherd has. The shepherd has a tie to the sheep that are apart from wages. Wages have nothing to do with it. The good shepherd loves the sheep, but the hireling only loves his life. He does not even love the shepherd. For if he loved the shepherd, he would stay with the sheep as an under-shepherd and not as a hireling. Now we're talking spiritual thoughts here. Take these thoughts into our church, other churches, where there are under-shepherds that are supposed to care for the sheep. Now remember the discourse in John 21, 15 through 17, which took place after Peter had denied Christ three times. My, Peter was sitting there, I'm sure his face was between his legs, so ashamed. Denied the Lord three times, and before he said, oh, I'll never deny thee, Lord. So cocky and so proud. And yet after that, when the Lord was being crucified, arrested, questioned, oh, I don't know him. I'm not a part of him. I never knew him. Oh, after that, I'm sure his whole countenance fell. But then after that, when the Lord appeared and they were sitting around and they had dined, Jesus faced Simon Peter, looked him right in the eye, I'm sure, and he saith to him, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou more than these? Oh, I would think that that would prick his heart. Knowing what he just did, and he said, lovest thou more than these? He saith unto him. And Peter said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And then what did the Lord say? He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Oh, see the connection here with the under shepherd? Do you love the Lord? If you love the Lord, feed my sheep. The connection of loving the Lord with feeding the sheep. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Perhaps Peter was welling up in his mind, what's going on here? The Lord said this already once, now he's saying it again. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, three times, what does that mean? Three times, you'll deny me thrice. Now you have an opportunity not to deny him. He's kind of like canceling out what he just did. Three times, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. So three times Peter confessed Christ. Before, three times he denied Christ. But here he confessed Christ. What was our Lord's response? Well, if you do, feed my sheep. So the definition of a hireling is one who is there only for money, for personal gain. The one who stays to defend the sheep stays because he loves the shepherd. The under-shepherd loves the shepherd. I'm serving the shepherd. The wolf comes, I've got to give my life for the sheep. Why? Because I love the shepherd. He is only capable of loving the sheep because he loves the shepherd. You know, our pastor loves you. Why does he love you? Because he loves the shepherd. If he doesn't love the shepherd, he's not capable of loving you and caring for you. So this is the definition of an under-shepherd. The Latin word transliterated, pastor, means shepherd. Pastor, pastoral, pasture, related to sheep. An under-shepherd loves the shepherd, therefore he is capable of loving the sheep. That is why Jesus asked Peter three times if he loved him, followed by the command to feed the sheep. He was basically saying, Peter, are you an hireling? Are you in it for yourself? Or are you an under-shepherd under me as the good shepherd, loving me, and therefore you can love the sheep? So the answer is connected to where your love is directed. God or mammon? What are you in it for? Oh, so many are in the religion business for other than loving the sheep. They simply use the sheep. And when the under-shepherd loves the shepherd, he will feed the sheep in the pastures of the Word of God. Now, we're in the pastures of the Word of God here. The Word of God is being preached and taught. These are pastures. You're the sheep in the pastures, and I'm giving you the food in the pasture. Our pastor, if he loves the Lord, that will translate into feeding the sheep in the pastures of the Word of God. Now, the diet will be varied, but it will always be in the pastures of the Word of God. And the under-shepherd's desire should be to present to the shepherd the sheep who are under his care. You know, it ought to be our pastor, and I believe it is our pastor's desire. If the Lord came, he would go to the Lord and say, these are my sheep. Do they look healthy? Do they look fed in the Word of God? That would be his desire to be... He should present them to the shepherd, the sheep who are under his care as healthy, fat sheep, full from feeding from the pastures of Micah, John, Jude, Genesis, Revelation, the Psalms, and all the other books of the Bible. Are they well fed? Do they look healthy? Are they fat? How's the wool look as the Lord looks at his flock? Oh, well done, thou good and faithful under shepherd. He would say, I'm sure that's his heart's desire. The sheep need all the pastures, all the different pastures, in order for them to receive all the spiritual vitamins of the food that God provides. Are you feeding on the Word of God? Now, Jesus said in John 10:14-15, I am the good shepherd. Oh, I love those authoritative words of the Lord. He never tried to dance around words. He said, you know, I'm trying to be the good shepherd. No, he said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So the true shepherd knows his sheep, and his sheep know the shepherd. The true shepherd knows that the sheep are clean animals. They are harmless animals. They're helpless animals. He knows that they are gentle and dependent animals that need care, and that they are prone to wander. Even in spite of all this, they're prone to wander. But he counts his sheep. Where's Hector? He names them all, you know. Where's Hector? That Hector is gone again. Everyone's here. Hector's prone to wander. So he goes and looks for Hector, leaving the under-shepherd in charge. Comes back with Hector. Now you stay here. Feed in the pastures that I provide. Don't go out into the world and find other pastures. Feed, be satisfied in the pastures I provide. He knows they are useful animals that supply a crop of wool each year. The true shepherd knows the names of the sheep. He knows the habits of the sheep. He knows their personalities, their peculiarities. You know, we got peculiarities. All of us have peculiarities. Do you know them, Pastor? Do you know our peculiarities? He knows. He knows the ones that are prone to wander. He knows the ones that are faithful. He knows the ones that are dedicated, the ones that lean a little bit towards liberality in the worldly sense. He knows their weaknesses. He knows their strengths. The world cares not for sheep, but to simply to use sheep for its wealth. And being of the world, the false shepherd also cares not to know the sheep, for it brings him no worldly value. You know, you can work for a corporation for 40 years, get your little watch when you're finished, and then 2 weeks later they'll say, who was that fellow that worked here 40 years? You know, you're not going to get the care of the true shepherd working for the world. I mean, you have to just admit that. But the true shepherd, the good shepherd, cares for your soul. Knowing the sheep takes sacrifice, and it takes commitment, and it takes concern. The false shepherd only desires to use the sheep for his benefit, and knowing the sheep does not contribute to that benefit. That's the corporate world. That's the world you live in. You are used for the benefit of the wealth that is produced. Oh, how we need the good shepherd, one that will love us and care for us. Christ knows all of his sheep, and all of Christ's sheep personally know him. As Job in chapter 42, verse 5 said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. You know, when you know Christ, you see him. You see him as the good shepherd, as the true shepherd. We who believe know our shepherd as the Savior of our soul. He is our personal Savior. As David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I hope you all have that relationship. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus describes this relationship as so intimate that he compares it to the relationship that he has with the Father. As the Father knoweth me. Now, how close can you get than the Trinity? As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, this was prior to the crucifixion. It was going to take place. The wolves were coming, and he lays down his life for the sheep. So the mutual knowledge of Christ and his sheep is like that which exists between the Father and the Son. As the Father knows the Son, and as the Son knows the Father, so Christ knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. What a relationship we have with our Savior, our Shepherd, our Christ. And this knowledge, this intimate relationship, extends to his laying down his life for the sheep. The hireling has no such mind. He has no such mind, cares not for the sheep. He cares for what he can use the sheep for, but cares not for the sheep. And then in this discourse, Jesus brings to his disciples an indication that there is work to be done relative to an increase in the flock of the shepherd. There's work to be done. And later on he'll say, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Why? Because I want the flock to increase. A shepherd wants his flock to increase. So he says in John 10:16, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now he mentions other sheep which are not of this fold. So who are these sheep? Well, they're not of Israel. That's one thing we know, because they're not of this fold, which is pictured here. But the other sheep will also hear the voice of the shepherd. They will have hearing ears. They do not hear the voice of the fold of Israel. They're not going to be Jews. They're not going to be hearing that voice, for they are not of Israel, but they belong to the flock of the shepherd. The shepherd says that the flock is not complete without them. He is talking about the church, the body of Christ. He is talking about us. The Lord is talking about you and you and you and you. He's talking about us. He didn't neglect us because we are of the fold. So we see here that the church does not come into the Jewish fold, into Israel. The church never was Israel. A lot of religions today will say that's not so. But here it is. These are not of the fold. The church never was Israel and never will be Israel. The church was never spiritual Israel and never will be spiritual Israel. It was never intended to be accommodated in Israel, but the church is part of one flock, the flock of God, the family of God. We are part of those whom God calls his people. We are sheep of his pasture. And the shepherd has orders from the Father that these sheep must be brought in, or else the flock is not complete. And the shepherd will be successful in this effort. The sheep who are not of the fold of Israel will be brought into the flock. We read of this in Acts 13:48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. They said, "We're not left out. The shepherd's looking for us. We're glad." And they glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Look at that election in there. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. So Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, is saying that he must lead the Jewish sheep out of the fold before they could be united with the other sheep to form his flock, the remnant, to form the flock with the church. And in John 10:17, he continues, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again." So now he's talking about resurrection, which is to take place. Laying down his life, that he might take it up again, was in obedience to the Father's will. The shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. Now, only deity, this is a claim of deity right here. Only deity can lay down his life and take it again. The Greek word used here for lay is also the same word that is translated put, P-U-T. Jesus Christ puts down his life and he picks it up again. Now, all I can do is to end my life. And I have not the power to pick it up again. Only one who is the resurrection can do such a thing. Only deity has that power. And only deity can say, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," even when that promise includes death. For only deity can take life again. You know, our wedding vows are not for eternity. All we can say is "till death do us part." That's all we can say. But Jesus Christ can say, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Why? Because he's deity. He puts down his life and takes it again. But if he was to impart resurrection life to others, he must receive resurrection life himself. And to receive resurrection life, he must first pass through death. We can be resurrected because we're in resurrection itself, himself, Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ was ordained to die from the foundations of the world. Otherwise, he would not be the resurrection. As John 12:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." So only by the resurrection could the shepherd bring his other sheep together with the sheep from the original fold into his one flock. And the last verse, which I'll end here, is John 10:18. "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself." He's talking about his life. "I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father." Now that's the kind of shepherd that you need. You know, the shepherd, the human shepherd of every flock, has that flock for a period of time. But one day that shepherd will disappear, and he'll be laid in the grave, and the flock will have to have a new shepherd. But that's not the shepherd of the Scriptures. The true shepherd is always our shepherd for eternity, because he is the resurrection. Without the resurrection, we would not have a true shepherd. Father, we are thankful for the wonderful shepherd that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. It's wonderful, Father, to know that regardless of the circumstances of this life, that we are in that shepherd. And we know that someday we will be called up to be with that shepherd throughout the endless ages of eternity. And we will live in glory and praise and honor to him. Now bless us, Father, as we go to our service. Bless our pastors as they teach and preach and feed the sheep. Lord, help them to love us and care for us and desire that we are the best for God as we go through this life. Help them to feed the sheep from the pure Word of God, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.